From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The United States Supreme Court today stepped into the war on terrorism. The justices heard a case that will determine whether the executive branch has unchecked power to imprison foreigners indefinitely at the U.S. naval base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. At issue is the right of habeas corpus, enacted at the founding of the Republic in both the Constitution and in statutory law. It guarantees all persons the right to challenge their imprisonment in court. This was the fourth time that the court has allowed audio of its argument to be released. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg was at the court today.
More than 600 men are imprisoned at Guantanamo, permitted to see no one but their jailers and interrogators. Most were captured in the Afghan War 2 years ago, but others have been brought from as far away as Bosnia. The Bush administration has taken the position that they are not prisoners of war, but unlawful enemy combatants who may be held indefinitely incommunicado in solitary confinement without charge. The administration contends that under the laws of war, it may deal with the detainees as it wishes, without any interference from the U.S. courts. The detainees who brought today's Supreme Court case are from Britain, Australia, and Kuwait. They contend they were in Afghanistan to see family or perform charitable work, and that they are innocents swept up in the fog of war. They contend that they're entitled to a basic hearing to determine whether they are, in fact, enemy combatants. Representing them today, retired federal judge John Gibbons faced a battery of questions from the justices. Would it still be a problem if the detainees had been held 2 months instead of 2 years? And if the courts have jurisdiction, then what? Justice Kennedy.
What happens when the person comes before the court? You prevail and there's a writ of habeas corpus that comes here. The judge says, now what am I supposed to do?
Lawyer Gibbons responded that the court should look at whether there are adequate procedures for determining whether a detainee is in fact an enemy combatant. What about prisoners in Afghanistan? Gibbons responded this way.
Habeas corpus has never run to the battlefield.
In contrast, at Guantanamo, Gibbons argued the military is obligated to have a hearing to determine if a prisoner is in fact an enemy combatant. Justice O'Connor.
Would you be here if you knew that that review had been provided?
We would not be.
Justice Kennedy. And if the hearing determined a prisoner was an enemy combatant, then the courts would have no role, the challenge would be dismissed? Yes, replied lawyer Gibbons. Gibbons went on to attack another government claim. The government maintains that the U.S. courts have no role in the case no matter what, because Guantanamo is foreign soil, owned by Cuba, though it has been leased in perpetuity to the U.S. government.
Guantanamo Navy Base, as I can attest from a year of personal experience, is under complete United States control and has been for a century.
You don't need your personal experience. That's what it says in the treaty.
That was Justice Ginsburg referring to the U.S. treaty with Cuba, giving the U.S. exclusive jurisdiction over Guantanamo. Justice Scalia, however, observed that the treaty provides that Cuba still has, quote, ultimate sovereignty over Guantanamo. That prompted this response from Gibbons.
But Cuban law has never had any application inside that base. A stamp with Fidel Castro's picture on it wouldn't get a letter off the base.
If the U.S. courts have no role in the Guantanamo cases, said Gibbons, the U.S. government will have created a lawless enclave in which the U.S. is not accountable to anyone, anywhere. Defending the government's position in court today was Solicitor General Ted Olson.
The United States is at war. Over 10,000 American troops are in Afghanistan today in response to a virtually unanimous congressional declaration of an unusual and extraordinary threat to our national security.
Justice Stevens asked, supposing the war was over, would you still be saying the courts have no jurisdiction over the detainees at Guantanamo?
We believe that there would not be jurisdiction.
The existence of the war is really irrelevant to the legal issue.
It is not irrelevant.
Justice O'Connor interrupted, well, suppose one of the detainees was a U.S. citizen.
Statute. We would acknowledge jurisdiction. The court has never...
Excuse me?
We would acknowledge that there would be jurisdiction.
Justice Kennedy noted that the habeas corpus statute does not distinguish between citizens and non-citizens.
The statute doesn't talk about citizens. It says prisoners held under the authority of the United States. Now, if the citizen can say that he's a prisoner held under the authority of the United States in Guantanamo, why couldn't a non-citizen under the statute say the same thing?
When Olson seemed to flounder around in his answer, Justice Scalia came to the rescue.
Certainly the argument is available that in that situation, the Constitution requires jurisdiction.
Olson repeatedly stressed that in the past, the court has said it does not have jurisdiction over prisoners detained by the U.S. military abroad. Justice Souter resisted the argument as oversimplistic, contending that there's a big difference between a war zone like Afghanistan and Guantanamo.
Afghanistan is not a place where American law is, and for a century, has customarily been applied to all aspects of life. We even protect the Cuban iguana in bringing people from Afghanistan or wherever they were brought to Guantanamo. We are doing, in functional terms, exactly what we would do if we brought them to the District of Columbia.
And
in a functional sense, why is it a bar to the exercise of judicial jurisdiction under the habeas statute?
With respect to a certain area, a military base in Germany, a military base in Afghanistan, the United States must have and does exercise relatively complete control.
Justice Ginsburg followed up, noting that the detainees are not asking for all the rights an American citizen would have in a criminal case.
They say we're not asking for any of those things. Certainly not asking to have a lawyer there while these people are being interrogated. They are saying, look, we are claiming that our people are innocents, and for purposes of this proceeding, we must assume that. And all we want is some process to determine whether they are indeed innocent.
Addressing the government's lawyer, Justice Breyer summed up the problem for the court.
If we go with you, it has the virtue of clarity. There is a clear rule. Not a citizen outside the United States, you don't get your foot in the door. But against you is that same fact. It seems rather contrary to an idea of a constitution with three branches, that the executive would be free to do whatever they want without a check.
And Breyer asked, why shouldn't the courts provide some kind of basic check on the executive branch?
Why not say, sure, you get your foot in the door, prisoners in Guantanamo, and we'll use the substantive rights to work out something that's protective but practical.
Justice Scalia responded that there is a check in Congress.
If the people think that this is unfair, if Congress thinks it's unfair, with a stroke of the pen, they can change the habeas statute.
A decision in the Guantanamo case is expected by summer, and based on today's argument, the court looks as though it's closely split. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.